Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our program. And now I would like to present the star of our program, Don Wilson.
What do you mean I'm the star of the show?
Don,
I have a surprise for you. This is an anniversary.
An anniversary?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, today marks the 27th anniversary of the day that Don Wilson came to work with me. So take a bow. And Don, I want to tell you that in your honor, we are devoting the entire program to you. And when I say we, I mean the cast. I mean, this is your day. I mean, your slightest wish will be our command. Don, we're going to... John, you're crying.
Yeah, I can't help it, John.
The way those tears are running down your chins, it looks like your ear. Looks like he's irrigating something. John, please, stop sniffling.
Well, I think I'm all right now, Jack.
Yeah.
I just can't help getting a little emotional when I realize you've been with me for 27 years.
No, Don, you got that wrong. No, I haven't been with you. You've been with me for 27 years. You've been with me.
To think, when I came on this show, it was down. But because of my personality...
Down!
Because of my personality and showmanship, I raised it to the pinnacle of success.
Wait a minute, Don. Now, wait a minute.
It wasn't easy, and there were a lot of setbacks. But every time the show was down, I brought it...
Wait a minute, Don. The show was not down. It was never down. So stop making things up. Anyway, I'm not going to argue with you because this is your day. Open the curtain, will you please?
Jack, a throne?
Yes, Don. This is your seat of honor. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Don. Wait a minute before you go over there. Oh, gentlemen, will you bring everything in, please?
Oh, Jack!
Here you are, Don. There's the scepter. And here... Here's the crown. Yeah, look. I think you ought to tilt it a little bit. You look like Humpty Dumpty. There you are. Now, you see, you look sporty now.
Do I have to wear this crown? It's heavy.
Yes, Don, you have to wear it and this robe all through the show. Yes, sir. Okay. Now, wait a minute. Wait. Music, please. That broke this throne didn't come from your head, believe it. So, will you help me lift King Arthur and his round stomach? Right up, that's it. I'll just put something in so he can sit down.
Jack, I'm terribly sorry.
That's all right, Don. It wasn't
your fault. I just sit down.
It's right here. Now, Don, we have some beautiful gifts for you. Another surprise. I know how much you love fishing, so we have a very beautiful rod and reel for you right here.
Oh, Jack.
And for your hunting trips, a lovely shotgun right here.
Oh, Jack. This is beautiful.
And, Don, I heard that every Saturday you go to the J&M Riding Stable and you rent a horse.
because you like to go riding.
Right? That's right, Jack. I ride for 3 or 4 hours every week.
Well, Don, you'll never have to go to the J&M stables anymore. The horse you rented, we bought that horse for you. And it's your own. You'll be able to ride him as much as you want. Your own horse. Will you bring on Don's horse, please? Your own horse now, and you can ride him 7 days a week.
I don't blame you.
Now, Don, Your Majesty, I have another surprise for you. The quartet that you discovered and introduced on my program 17 years ago is here to pay tribute to you tonight. The Sports Fun Quartet.
Down yonder, someone beckons to me. Down yonder, that's where I want to be. I seem to be a racing memory. McQueen and Matthews and the Robert E. Lee. One score, I miss you more. And every day, my sunny rant. Your silly rant. Don Wilson is the comedy queen. And he's funny doing any old thing. He's sick in the middle, just like a bass fiddle. And to his family, King Don Wilson. There's no one around, sir, by far that announcer. Only to Don Wilson, our king.
Ladies and gentlemen, I guess many of you can realize that when I first started on radio that I did not have an announcer, you see. And when Don first came with me, well, I'm getting ahead of my story. You see, 27 years ago, when I started on commercial radio, my first sponsor was the Universal Corset Company. And I remember their slogan, "Gather unto you what is yours." Well, anyway, after I'd been on this program for 10 or 12 weeks, the sponsor called me and said it was very important. He wanted to see me. So I rushed down to his office. Mr. Willoughby?
Huh? Oh, yes.
How do you do? You remember me. I'm Jack Benny. You said you wanted to see me.
Oh, yes. I hate to bother an artist of your caliber, but you know, something strange has happened since you've been broadcasting for...
Oh, very strange.
Very strange? What's that?
We've been losing money.
Losing money? I can't understand that. My shows have been very...
Oh, I'm not arguing. Oh, no, your shows have been just fine. But, you know, we think it'll help if you stick to comedy and let somebody else do the commercial.
Well, I thought I did the commercials very, very well.
Well, all I know is that we've been selling corsets for 15 years, and this is the first time the company is feeling the pinch.
Feeling the pinch.
Yes, so I thought I wanted to have you here today so that we could audition the announcer, and the announcers are outside.
Say, you know, you might have something there.
I had an announcer that would do the commercial and somebody I could talk to.
Yes.
Yeah. May I have a pencil and paper? I'll write something.
Of course, man.
I'll write something.
There you are.
Fine, yes. Fine.
Are you going to write some comments?
Yes, I'll write some jokes in there. So
I'm laughing already.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, this man is going to be wonderful. He's going to do a wonderful job for you, Mr. Denny. You'll find out. You'll just...
How do you do? I'm Roy Rowan.
Oh, Roy. Oh, say that. Are you ready, Dave?
Yes, in one second. There we are.
Okay, Mr. Rowan, this is Jack Benny.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do, Mr.
Nice to
Rowan.
Meet you.
Mr. Rowan, I've written something here on this piece of paper for an announcer, and I want you to read it. Now, don't be nervous. Just read it out nice and straight, like an announcer would read.
All right.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Universal Corset Company presents the star of our show, that scintillating, dynamic personality, Jack Benny.
Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and a funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio.
What happened?
Well, I was walking down the street, and I passed a 17-story building, and a fella fell from the top and fell right down to the ground. So a policeman walked over and said, "What happened here?" And the fella said, "I don't know. I just got here myself."
What happened after that?
Oh, well, then after that, I kept walking down the street, and a panhandler stopped me.
A panhandler stopped you?
Yes, and he said, "Gee, I haven't had a bite in over a week, you see." So I bit him.
What did you do after that?
Oh, this is fine. You don't have to read me more.
Oh, that's fine. Wasn't it nice?
Oh,
wonderful.
Oh,
this boy's good. You should wait out there, and we'll call you.
Mr. Willoughby, he was awfully good. I mean, such a beautiful
man. Yes,
he is wonderful. Yeah.
Say, would you send him the next gentleman, please?
He was
How do you do? I'm Bill Baldwin.
This is Jack Baldwin. Mr. Baldwin.
How do you do, Mr. Benny?
How do you do, Mr. Baldwin? Now, Mr. Baldwin, I've written something here for an announcer. I just want you to read exactly what's written. You know, just speak out. Yes. Don't be nervous or anything.
Fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Universal Corset Company presents the star of our show. That scintillating, dynamic personality, Jack Benny.
Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And a funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio.
What happened?
Well, I was walking down the street, and I passed a 17-story building, you see, and a fella jumped off from the top and fell down to the ground, and a cop walked over and said, "What happened here?" And the fella said, I don't know, I just got here myself.
And what happened after that, Mr. Benny?
Well, then I kept walking down the street, you see, and a panhandler stopped me, and the panhandler said, and he said, he said, "Gee, I haven't had a bite in over a week." So I bit him.
And what did you do after that?
Fine, that's fine.
Very nice.
Thank you very much.
I could use any one of those.
Thank you very much.
Now, if there's anybody else out there, would you send me anything?
Thank you.
How do you do?
Don
Wilson. Mr. Wilson?
Yeah.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Wilson?
How do you do?
How do you do, Mr. Wilson? Now, Mr. Wilson, I just want you to read here what's on this paper.
That paper?
Yes, it's something I just wrote. Now, just read it. Don't be nervous. Just read what's on this paper.
Well, all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Universal Corset Company presents the star of our show, that scintillating, dynamic personality, Jack Benny.
Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking, and a funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio.
What happened?
Well, I was walking down the street, I passed a 17-story building, and a fella fell from the top of the building down to the ground, you see? And a policeman came over to him and said, he said, "What happened here?" The fellow said, "I don't know. I just got here myself."
What happened after that,
Mr. Petty.
Well, but I kept walking down the street to be further, and a panhandler stopped me.
The panhandler stopped
you? Yeah. And he said to me, he says, you know, he says, I haven't had a bite in over a week.
Mr. Petty.
Well, but I kept walking down the street to see further, and a panhandler stopped me.
The panhandler stopped
you? Yeah. And he said to me, he says, you know, he says, I haven't had a bite in over a week, so I bit him. That's enough. You're hired.
What for?
To be my announcer.
I'm no announcer.
Well, then what did you come in here for?
I came in here to complain about one of your courses.
Why?
Doesn't your wife like it?
No, she says it still makes me look sloppy.
Well, whether you like it or not, you are going to be my announcer from now on.
John protested, but I assured him that I could make him into a great announcer. I explained that there was work to be done, but he shouldn't worry about it and just leave everything to me. The first thing I did was to take him to an elocution school.
Now, Mr. Wilkes, let's try it one more time. Ready? And...
A with a U is A-U, A-U. D with a U is D-U, D-U. U-D, U-D, U-A, U-A. G with a U is G-U, G-U. E with a U is E-U, E-U. A-U, E-U, G-U, G-U.
There you are, Mr. Bellini. What do you think of that?
P with a U is E-U.
In his mouth.
It might help. Pebbles?
Take a mouthful of these, please.
Now, Mr. Wilson. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Continued elocution lessons, even though he shot three teachers. Don's voice improved immensely, but because of his size, his movements were very awkward. So to give him poise, I enrolled him in Sergei Finsky's dancing school.
Oh, Mr. Benny.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Well, Sergei Finsky.
How is Don Wilson coming along with his dancing lesson?
Oh, fine, fine. You know, Mr. Benny, I would say that Don is about the best ballet pupil I ever had.
Ballet? But I brought him here just to teach him a little poise. Ballet?
Well, Mr. Benny, you brought him in here to cure his awkwardness. Mm-hmm. And believe me, learning ballet is the very best way to cure it.
I know, but ballet, I can't imagine Don doing ballet. I mean, this, I don't know, I've got to see this.
Well, I had a little difficulty with him at first, you know. But now, Mr. Benny, now he's coming along beautifully, really beautifully.
But ballet, well, I don't know, I've got to see this.
Well, you can. He's just about to give his lesson, you know. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Benny, please, don't let him know that you're here. It might It might confuse him, you know. He'll come out.
He'll be embarrassed.
I see. Now, would you mind?
Where can I hide?
Let's go over there.
Okay, that's right.
Now, Mr. Bailey, I have to explain to you one thing.
Right.
Every ballet has a little story.
Yes, I know.
Everyone has a lovely story about a dying hibiscus.
Ballet is the dying hibiscus.
Exactly. Well, excuse me.
Yes, yes.
You?
Donald,
are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
I'll give you the musical introduction.
The story of how I found Don Wilson. Now, Don, we had a lot of fun at your expense. But now I have another surprise for you that you'll be very, very proud of. Now, this gentleman flew here all the way from New York City just for this occasion. One of the most eminent personalities in the field of television, Mr. John Daly.
On behalf of the radio and television industry, it gives me great pleasure to present you this plaque. I should like to read the inscription. To Don Wilson, in recognition of 27 years of achievement in the field of radio and television broadcasting, a man who at all times exemplified the highest standards and good taste, a man whose diligent pursuit of his chosen profession has reflected credit on the entire industry. His achievements are especially noteworthy when you consider that he came to the Jack Benny program when it was down.
Wait a minute. We're not going through that. My show was not down. My show was never down.
Jack, what are you talking about? It was down.
It was not.
I thought it was down.
You keep out of this. Was not down.
It was too down, Jack. Now, I earned that plaque and I want it.
Oh, you want it, hey?
Yes.
All right, brother. You're going to get it. This is the last time I'll ever honor anybody on my show.
Thank you.
was from a television retrospective that was done at Channel 44 in San Francisco the week of February 14th, 1975, in tribute to Jack Benny. And Don Wilson was the host of that whole week of television and film spectaculars. And, of course, the date of the television show originally, I don't know, but it had to be sometime in 1961 because they were celebrating Jack's 27th year, or Don's 27th year with Jack on that filmed program. So it had to be from somewhere in 1961. You're listening to Don't Touch That Dial from KCSN Northridge, and we will be right back right after these messages.
Hello, Cinderella.
Oh, fairy godmother.
Did you meet the prince last night at the ball?
Yeah, what a dude.
Why, he's the biggest catch in the kingdom.
He sure tried to catch me. I lost a shoe running away from him. Get the door, will you? I gotta get this fireplace clean.
Why, it's the prince.
That's me. This your glass slipper?
Oh, no, it belongs to Cinderella.
Okay, Cindy, want to get married and live happily and rich ever after?
I don't know. Got a radio in your castle so we can listen to Theater of Your Mind on KCSN?
Nah, I'm too busy squeezing taxes out of the peasants.
But Princey, Paul Thompson plays good old radio mysteries on Mondays and comedies on Fridays at 6:30.
Well...
Look, buy me a radio tuned to KCSN and I go with it. What do you say?
Come to think of it, with Theater of Your Mind to amuse me Mondays and Fridays at 6:30 on KCSN, who needs a cinder-smudged damsel with one bare foot and a bunion yet? See ya, baby.
And welcome back to Don't Touch That Dial. My name is Bob Lyons. If this is the first time you've ever joined us, welcome aboard. We do this every Sunday. We don't pay tribute to somebody every Sunday, but we do play old-time radio every Sunday, trying to bring back the golden days of radio and let the some of the younger folks know what it was like listening to radio back in the better years, as we say. Today is a special program, of course, and next week we'll be back with the more of the regular fare that we have on Don't Touch That Dial, although we will be featuring kind of a special program next week, two 30-minute brand-new radio programs, two dramas produced by the American Radio Theater, and Dave Krebs will be here in the studios to talk to us about it and to get your reaction on the phones, and that's going to be kind of exciting because we believe in new radio, too, and we want to support the new radio programs that are being produced today, and they don't seem to be able to get a hearing, a forum in which to broadcast these shows. So we are proud to open up some time here on a Sunday afternoon to make a time available to some of the new programs. New Time Radio here on Don't Touch That Dial. And I'll tell you about Spurtback a little bit later on, but right now let's get back to our tribute to Don Wilson as we look back in the golden age of radio, the years that he presented and did so much for the Jack Benny program. We're doing a lot of Jack Benny shows today because Don Wilson was synonymous with Jack Benny. We're going to go right now to the NBC Radio Network back on December 17th, 1945, when they began the I Can't Stand Jack Benny contest on the Jack Benny Show.
The Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Larry Stevens, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Gentlemen, 2 weeks ago, Steve Bradley, Jack Benny's press agent, forced Jack into having a contest. You listeners were asked to write in letters completing this simple sentence, I can't stand Jack Benny because... And is it catching on? Ah, yes, there's excitement in the old town tonight. Everybody's celebrating. In fact, right now there's a parade coming down Sunset Boulevard. They're turning down the street where Jack Benny lives.
Oh, I never saw so many guys in uniform. Yeah, what are they? Soldiers, sailors, or marines? They're mailmen. Mailmen? Sure, haven't you heard? Jack Benny's running a contest. I can't stand Jack Benny.
Well, neither can I, but what's the contest about?
That's it. I can't stand Jack Benny because there's $10,000 in prizes.
No kidding.
I even sent in a letter myself.
You did? What did you say?
Oh, plenty. When I got through, I had to wash out my fountain pen with soap. Life boy, yes.
Hey, I'm going to call up my wife and tell her to write a letter to Benny right now.
Wait a minute. Why don't you do it yourself?
Oh, if my wife calls him half the things she calls me, she can't lose.
Hey, look. They're marching right up to Jack Benny's door.
Hey, Jackson, there's the doorbell.
I heard it, Phil.
Rochester. Rochester, answer the door.
I can't move, boss. The ladder's up to my knees.
The ladder isn't so high.
It ain't, hey, I'm sitting on a horse.
No, don't be silly. Every time I talk to him... Phil, what are you doing with that shovel and that pile of letters?
We lost Mary.
We didn't lose Mary. She got a bad cold and couldn't come over today.
Oh, that's a shame, Jackson. Did you send her any fruit?
No. She still has the fruit I sent her last year when she was there.
But that was a year ago. Don't that wax fade?
No, but during the hot weather, it melts a little, you know. In fact, the banana curled up and looks like a donut with yellow jaundice. Now, let's see.
Hey, Jackson, why don't you send her some real fruit? The wax stuff don't fool anybody.
It doesn't, eh? The apple's got two worms in it. They don't know the difference. So why should I work? I'm coming. Gee, how can I... Am I going to get to the door with all those letters? Maybe I better put on my snowshoes. Good thing I didn't leave them in Yosemite.
Oh, what?
What is it, Rochester?
On the way back from the door, ski through the kitchen and bring me a glass of water.
Okay. I'm coming. God, these letters are so deep, it's a good thing I got my snowshoes on.
While the night, which was 30 below, there stumbled a miner fresh from the snow. Dog dirty and loaded for bear.
That's me. Rochester, stop. Okay. Oh, are you the mailman?
So what do you think I am with this pack on my back? An early Santa Claus?
Guy that does so many things.
You and your contest.
Well, can I help it if so many people can't stand me? Besides, what are you griping about? You got over 200 letter carriers helping you.
I know, but it wasn't easy getting them.
What?
We have the only post office in the country with a draft board.
Now, look.
Don't you shout at me. See those four stars on my shoulders?
Well, what does that mean?
I'm a postmaster general, silly.
I knew I shouldn't have asked him. Now, look, will you please stop with all this?
Quiet. A message is coming in on my walkie-talkie.
Flight commander to control tower. Flight commander to control tower. We're circling Beverly Hills. Please give instructions. Over.
Control tower to flight commander. You're approaching the target. Drop down to 500 feet. Open the bomb bay.
Wait a minute. What is this?
Air mail, you old-fashioned poop.
Look, General, do me a favor, will you? I drained all the water out of the swimming pool. Put the letters in there. The house is full.
Very well.
Thank you, General. Oh, now what?
You forgot to salute.
Now, cut that out.
This is all General Bradley's fault. I mean, it's all Steve Bradley's fault. Having people write letters on why they can't stand him. These snowshoes are kind of tight.
He longed for the fight of the Yukon night in the northern lights. Weird flicker.
Rochester.
And a game of stud in a frozen mud and a taste of raw red liquor.
Rochester, stop with that poetry. We're not in the Yukon.
I don't know about you, but I'm chewing on some blubber.
What?
Stuffing the steak with Yukon cake. Hard-boiled as a picnic cake.
Rochester.
He washed his shirt in the Klondike dirt and drank his rum by the cake.
Rochester, just tend to the mail. We still have thousands of letters to read.
Hey, Jackson, here's a letter. Listen to this one. I can't stand Jack Benny because he charges $2 an hour to play his violin at weddings.
What?
Signed, Tommy Manville.
Well, that's how it is when you work for one man too long. Now, let's not get these mixed up.
Well, Mr. Benny...
Oh, Larry, I didn't see you with all these letters around here. When'd you come in?
Yesterday.
Oh. You better read your way to the window and get some air.
I can't stand Jack Benny because he won't pay Rochester more money, because he won't give him a night off, and because he won't...
Rochester, stop reading those letters.
I ain't reading, boss.
Well, we talk about our little problems in private.
Yeah, you, me, and the Dyes Committee.
Oh, my. Gee, I'm getting tired reading these letters. I'm going to rest a while. Say, Larry, why don't you sing a song for us?
I'd like to, Mr. Benny, but I've got laryngitis.
Gee, everybody's got a cold. You and Mary, what a show we're going to have. Just my luck, Fred Allen will be as fit as a fiddle. I'm sorry you can't sing today, kid.
It wouldn't make any difference, Mr. Benny. I was going to sing I'm Glad I Waited for You, but Mr. Harris' band can't play it.
Phil, why can't your band play I'm Glad I Waited for You?
Don't rush us. We got to take these songs in order.
Oh, I'm sorry. What are you working on now?
Sheik of Arabic.
What?
It's a great song, Jackson. It goes like this. I'm the Sheik of Arabic. I don't see your love belongs to me. I don't know.
I know how it goes.
He wanted to mush along in the sledge with a team of huskies.
Quiet! Phil, by the time you get to... Oh, there's the phone. Hello?
Hello, Jack. This is Don Wilson.
Oh, hello, Don. How are you?
Bad as ever, thank you.
Don't thank me. You're the only man I know that goes into a butcher shop, buys a side of beef, and the butcher says, shall I wrap it up or will you eat it here? Now, look, Don, I'm busy with my contest mail. What do you want?
Well, the reason I called you, Jack, is because I'm going on a local broadcast today, and I want you to listen in.
Oh, sure. We'll all listen.
I'm going to tell a few jokes, and I'd like to try one out on you.
Joke? Oh, go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
Why are Lucky Strike cigarettes like Minneapolis?
Say, that sounds like you got something there. Go ahead, Don. Why are Lucky Strike cigarettes like Minneapolis?
Because they're so round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
What?
Don't you get it, Jack?
No.
Well, now wait, I'll make it easier for you. Lucky Strikes are like Minneapolis because they're made of the finer, the lighter, the naturally milder tobacco.
Don, I might be a little dense today, but I still don't get it.
Well, now I'll explain it to you so you can't miss it.
Oh.
Lucky Strikes are like Minneapolis because with men who know tobacco best, it's Lucky's 2-1.
But, Don, that doesn't make sense. Minneapolis doesn't fit in there.
It doesn't?
No.
Oh, I guess you're right, Jack. I'll make it St. Paul.
Yeah,
Yes, I think you've really got something.
Well, I better run along. Goodbye.
Oh, Don, just a second. What time do you go on that program?
At 6:15.
Okay, I'll listen. Goodbye. Oh, my goodness, I forgot to ask him what station. Oh, well, we'll find it. Hey, Phil, the house looks a little better with all those letters cleaned up. You know, as soon as we get through, I've got to go out and do some more Christmas shopping.
Say, Jackson, I got a swell present for you this year.
You have, Phil?
Yeah.
How much is it? I mean, what is it? what did you get me?
Case of gin.
A case of gin?
Well, it'll come in handy when you throw a party.
When am I going to throw a party?
The minute I bring it over, Bob.
All right, Phil, we'll have a party on New Year's Eve.
Mr. Benny, what are you going to give me for Christmas?
Well, what are you going to give me, Rochester?
You tell me what you're going to give me.
No, no. First you tell me what you're going to give me.
No, you tell me.
No, you tell me.
No, you tell me.
No, you tell me. What are you laughing at?
We do this every year and all we get out of it is a sore throat.
Well, don't worry. I'm going to buy you a nice gift. Now, before I do my shopping, I better go over my list again. Let's see. For Christmas, I'll get some cough drops for Larry Steven. Some new wax fruit for Mary. And something for Don Wilson. I hear they're stretching two ways again. Now, let's see. What else?
Buy me anything for Christmas.
That's what you told me last year, and then you got eaten with me on my birthday.
Oh, no. Now, baby, Daddy didn't get even with you. He just forgot, that's all.
Gee, Daddy, I like Christmas. Santa Claus and everything.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And, baby, do you know where Santa Claus comes from?
Uh-huh. And that's what I like about the North Pole.
Oh, isn't that cute? Hey, Jackson, you should have heard what my kid just said.
Oh, Daddy, wasn't that funny?
Yes, it was, too. You know, honey, I never saw
her. I gotta hang up now, Daddy. I'm busy.
Okay, goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, hot shot.
Gee, what a sweet kid. It sure is, Jackson. You know, it's wonderful being a father, especially when your kid is just starting to school. You know, I come home at night, sit her on my lap, and watch her do her homework.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised what you can learn that way.
Well, stick to it, Phil. You know, it isn't going to hurt you any.
You said it. I've learned plenty. Hey, Jackson, you know what a period is?
Certainly, a period is what you put at the end of a sentence.
And it's also a dot over a nine.
Man, you positively amaze me. Now, let's get the rest of these letters out of the way. Say, Phil, take all these letters that you've been opened here and put them in the corner. And I wish you'd find...
Oh,
what is it, Rochester?
Here's a letter from Fred Allen.
Fred Allen? He can't be in the contest. He's a judge.
Just the same, he sent this letter.
What does it say?
It says, I can't stand Jack Benny because...
Uh-huh.
Then he lists the reasons alphabetically, chronologically, and geographically.
Geographically?
Yeah, he can't stand you any place.
Oh, he just thinks he's smart because he can say such big words with his nose. He's awful.
Stop, Jackson, stop. You just don't like him because he's a great comedian.
That has nothing to do with it. And listen, Phil, all week long you've been sarcastic just because I was the only one invited to Ronald Coleman's house last Sunday for dinner.
I still don't believe he sent you an invitation.
Well, you can go and look at it again. It's framed over the fireplace. Not only that, I'm having the Colemans over to my house next Sunday.
You are?
Yeah. I think I ought to invite their friend from England, Mr. Wellington. He was a guest at their house, too.
Hey, Jackson, you promised Don Wilson you'd listen to his program. It's getting late.
Oh, yeah. What time is it?
I don't know. The little hand is straight down and the big hand is bent over.
That's 6:15. Phil, why don't you learn how to tell time?
I tried to, but it always keeps changing.
Oh, well, I better listen to Don. Rochester, turn on the radio. We want to hear Don Wilson.
What station is it?
He forgot to tell me. Try to get it anyway.
Okay.
Here, I'll get the station.
I might as well be honest with you, Joyce. I'm in love with another woman.
No, Alvin, you mustn't leave me. You must. I've given you the best years of my life. I'll fight to the last ounce of my strength.
Oh, that's not it either. I wonder what station does.
Every cloud that
comes. Oh, for heaven's sake, why can't I get the station Wilson's on?
There it goes. It's a line drive and Greenberg's on third.
They've got such a slow radio here. I got to get that station that down.
Do you have rheumatism in your joints? Do you have chills? Does your liver shiver? Do you wheeze when you sneeze? If you suffer from these or any other ailments, try Sympathy.
going to get of it before that quartet comes on. Sympathy soothing serum. That stuff never helped anybody. I wish Wilson had told me what station he's on.
Melancholy face.
Oh, my goodness. Why can't I get this? Maybe this is it.
Hello. To all of you from Hollywood, this is Luella Parsons.
That ain't the station, Jackson. Well, I want to hear this anyway. Luella might have something nice to say about me.
Here's my first important news from the film capital tonight. Lana Schlagenhoff, who used to go with Turan O'Reilly, was seen at the Macamba with Gregory Permasat. They were cheek to cheek to the exotic music of Xavier Shapiro.
Well, what do you know about that?
Just heard that Bing Crosby and Bob Hope's next picture is The Road to the La Brea Tar Pit.
Well, they've been everywhere else. I got to see that.
Flash, it's a boy at the Cedars of Lebanon Hospital.
Well, I'm going to send them a card of congratulations. Remind me, Phil.
Van Johnson, who was so very ill with the flu, was cured in 3 days by a new miracle medicine called sympathy soothing.
How do you like that? Me, it made sick.
Now, here's top news. News you all be interested in. Gladys Zabisco, who's been Jack Benny's sweetheart for so long, has just signed a brand new contract with the Homeway Laundry.
Oh, boy, she passed her tub test. See, I hope her agent made a good deal for her.
I'm thinking of Jack Benny. His contest has brought thousands and thousands of letters from every state in the Union. Well, almost every state. Maine and Vermont are still holding out.
That shows what she knows. They hate me there, too.
That's all for now. But don't forget that starting next week, my own program for Woodbury will be increased to 15 minutes. So be sure to listen in to all the latest news from Hollywood. This is Luella Parsons saying good night.
I must call up Luella and tell her...
Hey, Jackson, what about the program that Don Wilson is on?
Oh, yes, I must get there.
Don't smile, my honey. Yeah, my life is a waste of years. Or else I will be melancholy. This I will be
that awful?
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the glorious voice of Miss Jenny Mudfender. High Street Bowling Alley.
Well, what do you know? Don Wilson's been on that program all the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, the contest will end at midnight December 24th, so be sure to get your letters in before then. Just complete this sentence. I can't stand Jack Benny because, in 50 words or less, and mail your letter to the Jack Benny Contest, Hollywood 28, California. The first prize will be a $2,500 in victory bonds. The second prize, $1,500 in victory bonds. The third prize, a $1,000 victory bond. And there will be 50 additional prizes of $100 victory bonds each. Remember, all you have to do is complete this sentence, I can't stand Jack Benny because, in 50 words or less, and mail it to the Jack Benny Contest, Hollywood 28, California. That's the Jack Benny Contest, Hollywood 28, California. Our board of judges will include Goodman Ace of the Easy Aces and Peter Lorre,
He frightens me.
And the supreme and final judge will be the Honorable Fred Allen.
He frightens Peter Lorre.
The judges will be final, and all letters become the property of Jack Benny, including the rights to publish. This contest is open to everyone except the employees of the American Tobacco Company, its agents, and the National Broadcasting Company. It is also subject to all federal and state laws and regulations. In case of a tie, duplicate prizes will be awarded.
Well, thank heaven that cleans up all these letters until the mailmen get here tomorrow. Say, Phil.
Yeah, Jackson.
I'd like you and all the gang to come over to dinner next Sunday night. You know, I'm having the Ronald Coleman.
Oh, gee, thanks, Jackson. I'll be there.
And remember, Phil, when we're having dinner, watch your P's and Q's. You know what I mean.
Oh, sure. When you give me the Q, I'll pass the P's. Oh, filthy. What a shame you haven't got laryngitis, too. You dumb, you.
You said. I'll bet Mary's glad she didn't have to hear that joke. Good night, doll.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Jack Benny Show from the NBC Radio Network, December 17th, 1945. I Can't Stand Jack Benny. Don Wilson read that so well. Okay. Very quickly now, so we can get into the next show, because we're running very short. The captain will be here in just about 30 minutes, so we want to get you into another show very quickly. SPURDVAC, the Society to Preserve and Encourage Radio Drama, Variety, and Comedy. It's a group of radio aficionados and preservationists. People are trying to preserve the golden age of radio, and we take the shows from the original discs, transfer them to tape, put them in libraries, and make them available to all our members for a nominal fee, and it's $15 a year membership, which is tax-deductible. Anybody can join SPURDVAC. You can rent tapes from the libraries. It's a lot of fun. Our meetings are the second Saturday of every month. And this coming Saturday, the 8th of May, will be our special guest speaker will be Jack Crucian, one of the great character actors from the Golden Age of Radio. He's done a lot of things. Lux, the NBC University Theater. He was in War of the Worlds. He was one of the three men who greeted the Martians as they landed. Yes, and you know what happened to them. He was in The Apartment with Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine. So he's done a lot of things, films, television, and radio. And he's going to be our special guest speaker at the SPURDVAC meeting at the Encino Recreation Center, 12 noon this coming Saturday. So y'all come. Everybody's welcome. You don't have to be a member of SPURDVAC to attend that meeting. If you want more information about SPURDVAC, you can write SPURDVAC, SPERDVAC, P.O. Box 1587, Hollywood, California 90028. Or for quicker service, our 24-hour telephone number is 213, area code 254-8173. That's for information about SPURDVAC, the Society to Preserve and Encourage Radio, Drama, Variety, and Comedy. Quickly now, our final presentation here on Don't Touch That Dial for this Sunday, our special tribute to Don Wilson. As we go back to the CBS Radio Network, November 14th, 1954, for a final Jack Benny program.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, every Saturday morning after rehearsal, the Jack Benny cast usually drops into the corner drugstore for a light lunch. As the scene opens, all of us, with the exception of Jack, have just entered the drugstore. Hey, we're lucky, fellas. It isn't crowded at all.
Yeah, we can have our regular table.
Well, let's sit down.
Hey, Jack wants to finish his business at the studio. He's standing on the corner on the other side of the street.
I wonder what the private business was he had to take care of.
Well, he went up to see Mr. Ackerman, the vice president of CBS. This is the day Jack is giving the network his ultimatum.
Oh, what ultimatum?
Either CBS gives him free parking or he's going back to NBC.
See, that'll never work.
Well, why not?
That's why he left NBC in the first place.
That's right.
Oh, here we are, Jack.
Okay. Sorry I took so long. What did your kids order?
Oh, nothing. We were waiting for you.
Oh, then I'll call the waitress. Oh, miss?
Miss?
What do you want, Mac?
We'd like to order some food. Do you have a menu?
Yeah, here.
Thanks. Now, let me see. Hey, wait a minute. This is the menu from the Brown Derby.
I know. The stuff on ours would turn your stomach.
Say, look, miss, all I want is just an egg sandwich and a glass of milk.
I'll have the same. Okay.
Now, miss.
What do you want, tap-on boy?
Now, wait a minute, miss. Maybe I have to take those kind of insults when I'm on the radio, but I don't have to take them from you.
Gee, I'm sorry, Mac. I didn't know you were sensitive.
Well, I am. You don't have to presume I'm not sensitive just because I'm a big, fat slob.
John, control yourself.
All right. Now, miss, I'd like to order. All I want's a bowl of vegetable soup.
Okay.
Dennis, what do you have?
Well, let me see. Miss, do you have any vichyssoise?
No.
Well, do you have any escargot sauté en vin rose?
No.
Well, how about shish kebab and kreplach?
No.
Dennis, this is only a drugstore. Why are you ordering things like that?
I wanted to know. I've been around.
Stop being silly. Order something you'd get in a drugstore.
Okay. I'll have a chicken sandwich.
With mayonnaise?
No, toothpaste.
Now, cut that out. Liz, just bring him a chicken sandwich. That's all. Now, go get the food.
Okay, Mac. I'll be back in a flash with the trash.
Never mind. Just go get it. You know, it's hard to believe that she used to do the commercials on the Lady Esther program. Now, look, Dennis, when we do the show... Wait a minute, where did Dennis go?
I don't know.
Oh, there he is, over by the jukebox.
Hey, look, they got one of my records here.
Well, why don't you play it, Dennis?
I can't. I haven't got a nickel.
Has anybody got a nickel?
Oh, I haven't.
Neither have I.
All I have is a dime.
I can change it.
I've been meaning to tell you how much I enjoy your CBS television show.
Oh, me too, Bob.
Yeah, same here. You know, Bob, I watch your shows every afternoon, and they're very good.
Well, thanks, Jack.
But I have a little suggestion, you know, just a little constructive criticism. I thought that if you got a comedy guest star occasionally, you'd get... you'd get more laughs on the program.
Yeah, but, Jack, we don't go in for guest stars. Mine is sort of a homie show.
Well, Bob, homie show or not homie, I still think it's a big lift to have a guest star come in, particularly a comedian.
Well, maybe so, but, gee, we don't have much money in the budget.
Well, how much can you pay for a guest star?
Well, about 15 bucks.
For 15 bucks, Jack can be homie.
I know a lot of recipes. Anyway, Bob, it's a very good show. And...
Hey, did the rest of you finish eating already?
Yes, Dennis, where were you?
Well, I thought as long as we were in a drugstore, I'd weigh myself.
Oh.
I weigh 140 pounds, stripped.
Stripped?
I took the weighing machine into the phone booth.
Look, Dennis.
And when I put in a penny, a little card came out.
Well, what did it say?
Put on your pants, kid. A lady wants to use the phone.
Dennis, stop. Stop already. Will you stop being silly?
Oh, he's not being silly, Jack. Sometimes those things just happen by coincidence.
Oh, sure, sure.
Well, that's the truth. Once I put a penny in the scale, and you ought to see the card that came out.
Well, what did it say?
Get off, you're hurting me.
Well, that I believe. That couldn't happen.
I hate to break up this roundtable discussion, but will there be anything else? Not for me. Anyone want anything?
Not me.
Well, I've had enough.
Okay, here's the check.
Oh, well, I'll take it, miss.
No, Bob. Let me pay it. It's my turn today.
Oh, now, wait a minute, John. You paid last time. I'll pay today.
No, Bob paid last time. Now it's my turn.
No, Don, you're wrong. Dennis paid the last time, and now it's my turn.
Oh, for heaven's sake, fellas. Let's all go Dutch.
Mary, it's their argument. Keep out. concern you.
Hey, Blue Eyes, how come you never pay a check? Did you take a pledge or something?
For your information, miss, it just so happens that the last time I picked up the check.
You had to. You were alone.
That has nothing to do with it.
Oh, miss, I'll pay it. Here, keep the change.
Thanks.
I got a car outside. Anybody want to lift?
Oh, not me. It's such a nice day. I'm going to walk.
Oh, say, Don, I've got to go over and see my brother about something. And say, you pass Bing's house on your way home, don't you?
Yeah, Bob.
Well, would you mind dropping me off at his gate?
Look, I'll drive you right up to his door.
No, no, just drop me at the gate. I'll take a bus the rest of the way.
Gee, he must have a big place.
Well, so long, Mary. So long, Jack.
Bye,
so long,
Bob.
So long.
See you at the show.
Yeah, so long, Don. See you later.
Gee, it's still early and the weather's so nice. I think I'll go out and play 9 holes of golf.
Mary, that's a wonderful idea, and I'll join you. Can you drive me by the house? I got to pick up my golf clubs.
Sure, my car's right in that parking lot.
Good. You get the car, meet me at the corner. I want to get a newspaper.
All right. See you in a couple of minutes.
Okay. See, that Bob Crosby's a nice guy. Imagine him giving the waitress a dollar tip. See, I'll bet it made her feel good. I got a thrill out of it, and I was only watching. Now, let's see. I want to get a paper. See, which paper do I want to get?
Hi, Rube.
Huh?
Oh, it's my friend from Calabasas.
Well, gosh, I haven't seen you in nearly a year. Well, tell me, what are you doing here in Los Angeles?
Huh? I came to get some supplies from a farm. I just bought an electric milking machine.
You need an electric milker for your car?
Yeah. It's kind of hard to squeeze out a living by hand. Ain't that a humdinger? Yeah. Heard it on a homie show the other afternoon.
Could that have been Bob? I don't know. Is that all you have on your farm, just cows?
Oh, no, no, no. Main crop is grapes. We operate our own winery.
Well, that sounds like a nice, pleasant occupation.
Pleasant, but dangerous, Ruth. Dangerous. In fact, just a short time ago, my uncle fell into one of those big vats full of wine and drowned.
Your uncle drowned in wine?
Yep. Took the mortician 5 days to get the smile off his face.
Well... Well, I can't understand how... Oh, I'm sorry. That car is honking for me. I gotta go now. Nice running into you. Goodbye.
So long, Rube.
So long, so long. Here I am, Mary.
Hiya, Rube.
Oh, stop. Come on, let's get going.
Gee, I'm glad we finished rehearsal early. Such a nice day for golf.
Yeah.
Say, Jack, what'd the headlines of the paper say?
How do you like that? I kept talking with that farmer. I forgot to buy a paper.
Well, turn on the radio and we'll hear the news.
All right.
And now for another news item. Professor Thaddeus Lambert of the University of Southern California has found a successful solution to the smog problem in Los Angeles. He has moved to Colorado.
Well, here we are, Jack. Run in and get your club.
Want to come in the house for a minute, Mary?
No, I'll wait out here in the car.
Okay. Show you my etchings. Won't take me long.
Is that you, Mr. Bentley?
Yes, Rochester.
Would you like me to fix you some lunch?
No, thanks. Wait a minute, Rochester, what are you doing with my violin?
I'm going to put it back in the case. That violin's been lying around ever since you went off the air last June.
That long?
Uh-huh. In fact, it's got mold all over it.
Well, did you wipe it off?
No, sir.
Why not?
Boss, mold makes penicillin, and that thing needs all the help it can get.
Now, never mind. And clean it up good, because I'm going to play my violin on my television show next Sunday.
No! Yeah.
Now, look, I'm going out to play some golf with Miss Livingston.
Oh, your clothes are in the closet.
I know. And, Roger, at 5 o'clock, I want you to drive out of the clubhouse and bring me home.
I can't, Mr. Billy. The mechanics are working on your Maxwell down at the garage.
Why, what's wrong with my car?
Nothing. It's just time for its million-mile jet-up.
All right. I'll have Miss Livingston drive me home. Now, Rochester, don't bother about dinner tonight because I'm going out.
Okay. But, boss.
Yeah? Well, don't look at me as though I'm stupid, Polly. You didn't know yourself for nearly a year. Gee, Rochester, now you've got me kind of worried.
For heaven's sake, Jack, what's taking you so long?
I'm sorry, Mary, but Polly isn't feeling well.
Oh, that's too bad. The poor thing, what's wrong with her?
Miss Livingston, she just sits around in her cage all day brooding. It's been going on for weeks now.
Well, Jack, you ought to do something. Why don't you take her to a psychiatrist?
A psychiatrist? Mary, this is no time for joking.
I'm not joking. They have psychiatrists for animals. I know one right near here.
All right. I'll get Polly and we'll go.
Jack, here's the doctor's office. You go with Polly and I'll wait outside in the car.
Okay.
Yes, sir. May I help you?
Well, are you the psychiatrist?
Yes, sir. I am Dr. Hugo Brown, a Ph.D.
Ph.D.?
Parrots, horses, and dogs. Those are my specialties, but I take care of all animals.
Oh, well, I've come to see you about my parrot here. I think she has some sort of a complex.
Well, what seems to be wrong with the little lady?
Well, she's very melancholy lately, and today I gave her a coconut, and she tried a hatchet. Could it be possible that birds long for motherhood?
Oh, certainly. Tell me, how long has she been acting so moody?
For a few weeks. Before that, she was always jolly. She used to love to listen to the radio and television.
A parrot that enjoyed radio and television? This I cannot believe.
Ah, Pepper may turn this late, bro.
I believe. Now, to help her, maybe it would be good if you told me something about yourself. What do you do?
Well, I'm Jack Benny.
Oh, yes, you look familiar. In addition to yourself, Mr. Benny, how many people come in contact with this parrot?
Well, there's my valet, my cast, and my 6 riders.
Uh-huh. And what is this parrot's name?
Polly.
It took 6 riders to think of that?
Look, Doctor.
Never mind. Now, tell me, how old is this parrot?
Well, let me figure it out. See, the man in the pet shop where I bought her said she was born in 1894. That would make her...
39.
Where does she get such delusions?
I'm sure I don't know.
Now, Mr. Benny, you say this parrot listens to radio. Does she like music?
Oh, she loves music.
Good. I will give her a word association test.
Word association about music?
Yes. I will give her a word, and by automatic reflex, she will say the first thing that comes into her mind.
Oh, good.
Now, Polly, listen. Piano.
Liberace.
Clarinet.
Pretty good one.
Violin.
Penicillin.
That I do not understand at all.
It must have been something she heard.
Obviously. Now, to continue the verb test. Listen, Polly. Father. Mother. Baby.
Climb upon my knees, silly boy. You are only 3, silly boy. No way.
You're all right.
Oh,
for a baby. That's what I thought.
Silly boy.
Polly, be quiet. Doctor, I'll go to... Polly, please. the pet shop and get an egg.
Leave
Polly, control yourself. Stop crying. Polly, we'll go right to the pet shop. We know now. Polly, I'll get your egg.
Don't
take
from heaven.
No, Polly, I'll get your egg. Let's go. Polly.
What does the psychiatrist say about Polly?
Oh, she'll be all right. All birds get moody once in a while.
Ah, it's a shame we missed our golf game, but maybe we can play next week.
No, Mary, I'm going to be busy all week rehearsing for my television show next Sunday.
Gosh, Jack, are you going to be on television that often?
Mary, read that line the way we rehearsed it.
Gosh, Jack, are you going to be on television that often?
That's better. Good night.
The Jack Benny program is written by Sam Perrin, Milt Josephsburg, George Balzer, John Tackerberry, Al Gordon, Hal Goldman, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Marks. The Jack Benny program is brought to you by Lucky Strike, product of the American Tobacco Company, America's leading manufacturer of cigarettes. Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson.
Don Wilson had a long and varied career in the Hollywood and New York broadcasting industries. He was in radio, he was in television, he was on stage, he did performances live in front of the GIs and announced for the Armed Forces Radio Service. He was an announcer for many programs, and you're going to hear some of those programs, some excerpts from them, during the next 3 hours. Well, I guess by way of introduction, we can go back to an early tape, a clip of a program called The Nellie Revelle Show. And let's listen to Don Wilson himself tell a little bit about his own career at that time.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Nellie Revelle, celebrated newspaper woman, raconteur, and interviewer whose inspirational and humorous observations, brilliant newspaper columns, and magazine articles have endeared her to millions. In this series, Miss Revelle brings you the personalities of your radio favorites and better acquaints you with them. She tells you who they are and who they were before they became who they are. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Nellie Revelle.
Thanks, Frank. Howdy, friends. You remember me, don't you? Not to be outdone by our Canadian cousins, I do have a quintuplet. A quintuplet of announcers. The voice you love to touch. Those big noun and bird men, you know. Well, anyhow, we have five announcers today. Don Wilson, Don Lowe, Dan Russell, Bennett Brower, and Alwyn Bach. And we're going to have another amateur show, and these fellows better be pretty good because that gong is very handy. And my first imitation. Oh, well, anyhow, my first victim is Don Wilson. Mr. Wilson was born in Lincoln, Nebraska. Was raised in Colorado, where he attended the University of Boulder. Mr. Wilson is 6 foot, 2 inches tall, and weighs 220 pounds. Has dark brown hair and blue eyes. Round, good-natured face, and admits to 35 years of age. Doesn't look it, though. After leaving college, what did you do, Mr. Wilson?
Well, Mr. Revelle, first I worked as a salesman for a wholesale drug concern and afterwards sold coal and oil. And all during that time, I was studying voice.
soothing syrup and sugar-coated pills. What a nice training for an announcer. And then you left the coal bin and the oil cans for radio, huh?
Yes, I joined what was known as the Piggly Wiggly Trio. We worked on the coast for 3 years, but later I was at KFI as chief announcer.
Oh, yes, it was you who always announced the Rose Bowl game on New Year's Day at Pasadena, wasn't it?
Blushingly, yes.
You needn't blush for that. That's the best job you ever did.
Maybe I should go back, huh?
How long have you been in New York?
Well, since October 1933.
Married?
Oh, indeed.
Well, since you used to be one of a trio, how about a song?
Oh, I can't sing, Mr. Valdez. I haven't sung a note in 6 years.
Well, you're the biggest fella here, and you ought to make the most noise.
Well, it's noisy, but remember, you asked for it.
And I can take it, too. What are you going to sing?
The Man on the Flying Trapeze.
Play, Harold. Sing, Don. Wouldn't he look good on the flying trapeze?
The air with a grace. The there is
And our special thanks to Barbara Sunday for sharing that clip of the Nellie Revelle show with us. Let's go back a little bit further. 1933, to be exact. We don't know the exact air date, but it was 1933. And this is a complete show, a 15-minute show that Don Wilson was the announcer on. And you're going to hear some other great voices, too. Here we go with the Mirth Parade.
Presenting the Mirth Parade.
Dude Ranch down in Arkansas. I was a comedian down there in the stable.
comedian in the stable.
Yeah.
I never heard of a comedian in the stable.
Well, you see, they had a lot of stubborn horses, Don. They'd clamp their teeth shut and wouldn't let the boys put the bits in their mouth, and it was my job to tell jokes to these horses. Then when the horses would start to yawn, they'd slip the bits in their mouth.
Tell me, did you ever make the horses laugh?
No, I didn't, Don. It wasn't until some time later when I started in vaudeville that I got my first horse leg.
Tell me, was telling jokes to the horses all you had to do in the stable?
No, Don, I was also the stable stenographer.
Oh, the stable stenographer. You mean you took down dictation?
No, I took down hay for the horse.
Well, I suppose you kept pretty busy.
Yeah, Don, there's a lot of things to do around the stable, and if you don't keep pretty busy, your work will pile up on you. I like it much better than I did later on in vaudeville.
Well, tell me, why was that?
Well, you see, in vaudeville, Don, you had to work on the bill with some terrible acts. Now, there was an act right ahead of me that fella got out there and told a lot of bad jokes, and people would start hissing him. And then I'd get out there following him and get about halfway through my act, and the people would start thinking about this other guy, and they'd start hissing again.
Well, even at that, there's something about the atmosphere of the stage that you just can't help but like, is there?
Yeah, Don, I admit the atmosphere of the stage is better than the old job.
You must meet a lot of funny people on a dude ranch down there in Arkansas.
Yeah, one of the funniest things I ever ran into was a woman. It's the first time this lady had ever been out of the city. And the first morning I was riding along with her, and she pointed over in a pasture and says, "What's that funny-looking animal over there?" I says, "Lady, that's just a plain, ordinary old cow." She says, "What's those things growing out of its head?" I says, "Those are its horns." Just then the cow went, "Moo." She says, "Which horn did he blow this?" I just tell you that, Don, to let you know I've been in show business a long time.
Well, it must be wonderful to be out there at night under the big moon, so romantic.
Don, you're too easy led, but I'll tell you about that moon. That moon ain't near as big as it used to be, Don.
What do you mean the moon isn't as big as it used to be?
Well, you see, Kate Smith darn near wore the moon out trying to get it over the mouth.
Boy's a real cowboy, but he still thinks the posse is some kind of a cat. And now Six Gun Andy Andrews swings his lariat and sings a quaint old cowboy song probably entitled "Lariat May Call You Sweetheart."
Why, thousands of automobiles go dashing down the street. They're just as common nowadays as shoes on your feet. But look at those reckless drivers. Oh, they're crazy as a bat. Yeah, but what's that coming down the street? Good heavens, what is that? Oh, look, there goes the horse. Hey, hey, there's the horse. Yes, sir, there's the horse. Trotting down the avenue. What a thrill for me. What a thrill for you. And I know I may be wrong, as a rule. But I'm not a fool. From pictures I've seen in school, there's a horse. There's a real horse. Oh, gosh, oh, gee, what a day for me. What I'm left to see. What a horse and a buggy gonna look like. Oh, I'm thrilled, of course. I know what everyone to tell will think. But I don't take a break, believe it or not, look. Say, I've seen a lot of queer things in this old world of ours. I've watched the monkeys in the cage for hours and hours. Yeah, I've studied the yaks and llamas. Yeah, and armadillos, too. Oh, but what's that coming down the street? Good grief, there's something new. Oh, look, oh, there goes the horse. Hey, hey, there's the horse. Yes, sir, there's the horse. Look at everybody stare as they all declare there's a horse and buggy right there. Why, I can't believe that it's true. Yeah, but I'm telling you, I'm glad that I've had a view of a horse, of a real horse. Oh, I'll confide that I'm thrilled inside and I'm satisfied to a T. It's not an apparition. Oh, I'm thrilled, of course. I know that everyone will think I'm cracked. Yeah, but I swear to the fact, I'll tell the truth. Look, turn around, look.
Six Gun Andy Andrews, one of the reasons why dude ranchers are so popular with the beautiful young debutantes. That's all right, Andy. You can just owe us the quarter, and we'll try and collect it next week sometime. Just
hello!
See.
Hello, Danny.
Hello, Aunt Addie. Good old Aunt Addie, the anemic evangelist, as I live and breathe. Yes, sir.
What?
As I live and breathe.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm afraid that I can. Well, tell me, Aunt Addie, what's on your mind tonight?
That's dandruff, you see. Say, what are all these cowboys around here for?
Why, this is a dude ranch. This ought to please you. You're right at home amongst the horses.
You said it, Donnie. I was raised amongst horses.
You're telling me? Say, I want you to come over to my ranch. I've got a swell horse for you to ride.
What's that? You got a horse for me?
Oh, I got a swell horse for you to ride.
Hey, I never rode a horse in my life.
Well, this horse has never been ridden, so you could both start off together. How's that?
I think I better take some of the answers for a while. By the way, Donnie, you know, I used to live on a ranch, and I want to tell you something kind of confidential. We never used butter knives.
You never used butter knives? Why, Aunt Annie, that's awful.
Well,
that's terrible.
I know it is, but you won't tell anyone we didn't use them, because you know how them things spread.
Oh, speaking about butter. Speaking about butter and all that, I want to ask you a question.
Go right ahead.
Just what is your favorite dish?
The saucer.
Uh-oh.
Anything else you'd like to know?
Yes, tell me this. When you ride a horse, what kind of a saddle do you use? A Western or an English?
Well, now, I really don't know, Donnie. What's the difference?
Well, a Western saddle is one of those with a horn on it, you know. You know, the kind's got a horn right in the middle of it up there in front.
Hey, whenever I get up on a horse, I'm so busy trying to keep on it, I don't have time to toot on no horn.
Well, here's an odd thing that I didn't know myself until Bob Burns just told me. Did you know that racehorses never eat the day before the horse race?
No, I didn't know that. But I do know that I usually don't eat the day after a race.
Here's another thing, Aunt Eddie, I want to bring up right at this time.
All right.
I happened to be out walking around last night, and I saw a man trying to kiss you, you know, out in back of the ranch house. You didn't know I saw it, but I did.
Saw a man trying to kiss me? Did he succeed?
No, I'm afraid he didn't.
Then it couldn't have been me, you see.
What a woman, what a woman. That Aunt Annie has done a good job of reforming everyone in the world except herself. No matter what kind of a corset she wears, she's always in terrible shape. One of the advantages of a dude ranch, you know, is that there are always fresh eggs available. And by fresh eggs, we don't mean city slickers. We mean the kind of eggs that... Yes, yes, that's the kind of an egg. Florence Gill, ladies and gentlemen, the barnyard nightingale, imitating the mother of an omelet.
through the courtesy of John and Larry Gassman. That was the Mirth Parade from 1933, featuring three people who went on to greater things. Bob Burns, the late Bob Burns, the late Cliff Arquette, who did Charlie Weaver so many years, and, of course, the late Don Wilson. Mirth Parade from 1933. Thank you, John and Larry, for sharing that with us. Everybody had to start somewhere, didn't they? Oh, by 1933, Don Wilson was ready to branch out, and he certainly did. The Jack Benny program was very popular, or starting to be popular. The announcers in the early years were George Hicks. The actor Paul Douglas started out as an announcer on the Jack Benny program. Alois Havrilla was the announcer on the CBS, on the Chevrolet show. And, of course, in 1934, Don Wilson came aboard as the announcer on the Jack Benny show, and there was never any need to have auditions for other announcers. Don Wilson was with Jack Benny for the rest of Jack's radio and television career. Now I put together some openings of various Jack Benny shows from the mid-1930s on up into the 50s to show you how the show evolved in the openings of the programs. Different names, different people, but always Don Wilson.
The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny with Johnny Green and his orchestra. The orchestra opens the program with Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe from the picture To Beat the Band. Turn a phrase, as my grandmother used to put it. Mr. E.F. Ruth of New York. Listen to what he says about Jell-O. The six delicious flavors stand out in front like a bolt of lightning on a dark and cloudy night. I can honestly and truthfully say that there is no other dessert on the market today that can live up to Jell-O's fine quality and delicious flavor. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Ruth. And the reason why you and millions of others prefer Jell-O is because Jell-O has found a way to capture extra-rich fruit flavor, flavor you don't get in any other gelatin dessert. For there's only one Jell-O, and only Jell-O has this delicious, extra-rich fruit flavor. So look for the big red letters on the package. They spell Jell-O. And now we bring to you the cheerleader of this program, Jack Benny. The Jell-O program, coming to you from Western Women's Club in San Francisco, California, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra. The orchestra opens the program with San Francisco from the picture of the same name. The game of questions and answers is really easy compared to one question that every woman has to answer every day. What will we have for dessert tonight? Well, here's a tip. On every package of Jell-O, you'll find delicious recipe suggestions. There are different recipes on the different packages, so the variety is almost unlimited. Every sort of delicious Jell-O dessert and lots of attractive Jell-O salads that you'll find especially helpful at this time of year. Look them over at your grocer's. You'll be surprised and delighted at the recipes on the Jell-O package. But remember, there's only one Jell-O, and only Jell-O brings you that delicious, extra-rich fruit flavor. That full-flavored, true fruit goodness that simply cannot be topped. so don't accept any substitutes. Look for the big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O. San Francisco, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you a man who has been in San Francisco a whole week and has just found out that the gold rush is over, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, I think that was a very thoughtless introduction. I know perfectly well that the gold rush is over. It was in 1849.
Well, Jack, then why did you bring a pick and a shovel up here with you?
Because if history repeats itself, I want to be prepared.
The Grape Nuts Flakes program, coming to you from New York City and starring Jack Benny. With Mary Livingston, Dennis Day, Rochester, yours truly, Don Wilson, and our guest conductor, Abe Lyman. Now, here's a funny thing. Why is it we're always hearing so much about bad habits? Yours and mine and the next door neighbors. And still nobody has a kind word to say about good habits. Well, right now, I'm going to put in my 2 cents worth for a perfectly swell habit. The habit of starting your day off with a grand little eye-opener, crisp, tempty, toasty brown Grape Nuts Flakes. Yes, sir. Once you make a habit of Grape Nuts Flakes, once you sample that moldy, rich flavor, smack your lips over that crisp, toasty texture, you're certain to come back for more. Prove it. Tomorrow, just do this. Try a bowl full of appetite-making Grape Nuts Flakes for breakfast. See if you don't find them so swell-tasting that a daily dish will become second nature to you. Yes, Grape Nuts Flakes are a good habit. So why don't you make a daily habit of Grape Nuts Flakes? Ladies and gentlemen, we have a little surprise for you. Jack wired us that owing to a slight delay coming up on the train from Norfolk, Virginia, he will be just a few minutes late. So while we're waiting for Jack, I'll turn the mic over to his very good friend, the famous star of Showtime, Georgie Jessel.
The Jack Benny Program. Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Larry Stevens, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Well, ladies and gentlemen, next Sunday night, we will be broadcasting from New York City. So let's go to Jack's house in Beverly Hills, where he's busy preparing for the trip.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by America's largest selling cigarette, Lucky Strike. The Lucky Strike Program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson.
There's a whole lot of radio history in that brief montage, about 20 years worth. I want to quote from the Jack Benny Show, a book by Milt Josephsberg, one of the great writers of the Jack Benny Show. It was published by Arlington House, and I heartily recommend it to anybody who loves old radio and Jack Benny in particular. In Josephsberg's book, he dedicates Chapter 11 to Don Wilson, and he says about Don, Don Wilson was with the Jack Benny Show longer than any other cast member with the exception of Mary Livingston. He was a huge, hefty, jolly man with a wonderful voice that made him one of the top radio announcers of all time. In addition, he had a big booming laugh, plus a stomach and bouncy build in keeping with a man who weighed around 250 pounds. Because Rochester was his valet, Dennis was a simpleton, and Phil an illiterate lush, and Mary a girl with no definite duties, we made Don Wilson the intelligent one. Whenever Jack tried to show off his knowledge and incorrectly quoted an author or messed up a famous date in history, Don would hasten to correct him. A case in point, it led to one of the biggest laughs of the Jack Benny radio show when he had Dorothy Kirsten on his program, and it went like this.
Oh, Miss Kirsten, I wanted to tell you that I saw you in Madame Butterfly Wednesday afternoon, and I thought your performance was simply magnificent.
Well, thanks awfully. It's not awfully nice and kind of you, Mr. Wilson. But who could help singing Puccini? It's so expressive, and particularly in the last act, starting with the Allegro Vivacissimo.
Well, now, that's being very modest, Miss Kirsten, but not every singer has the necessary bel canto and flexibility or range to cope with the high tessitura of the first act.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. And don't you think that in the aria Un bel di vedremo that the strings played the con molto passione exceptionally fine and with great sostenendo?
Well, I thought...
Oh, shut up!
That's not cricket.
Another example of Don's usage as the most erudite member of the cast came on the program of November 28th, 1948. It was Thanksgiving, and Jack had to give a speech.
Well, kids, it's sure nice for all of us to be here on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, a day set aside where families can get together in common bonds and humbly give thanks in a spirit of brotherly love.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. Yes, Thanksgiving. A day that was originally started by the Pilgrim Fathers. The Pilgrim Fathers. That stalwart, staunch group of men and women who left their native shore.
Don, stop eating.
And after many months of suffering, had their hardship rewarded by safely landing at Cape Cod in the year of 1620. Yes, our Pilgrim Fathers.
Jack.
Our Pilgrim Fathers.
Jack.
What is it, Don?
The Pilgrims didn't land at Cape Cod. They landed at Plymouth Rock.
No, Don. It was Cape Cod.
Jack. Jack, any schoolboy knows it was Plymouth Rock. How can you say Cape Cod?
Don, don't tell me anything about history. I went to school, too. I say the Pilgrims landed at Cape Cod.
They didn't land at Cape Cod. It was Plymouth Rock.
Don, they landed at Cape Cod. And if you don't...
Jack, put down that carving knife.
Oh, pardon me.
Beast.
Excuse me, you stay out. Now, John, this is Thanksgiving, so let's not quarrel. You think it was Plymouth Rock, I know it was Cape Cod. You can take my word for it, I know what I'm talking about.
Well, so do I. It was Plymouth Rock.
It was Cape Cod.
Oh, for heaven's sake, cut it out. Colby, serve the dessert, will you?
I will if those two gentlemen will get off the table.
I will if he will. How about some more of that white meat? That's my leg.
You should have told me sooner. I put some gravy on it.
I think it's awful for you to come here on Thanksgiving, accept Mary's hospitality, and start a big argument like this.
I didn't start the argument. You did. And you can ask anybody, and they'll tell you the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock.
I don't care who you ask. I still say they landed at Cape Cod.
Jack, for goodness sake, finish the speech you started.
I'll do it if everybody will shut up. Now, as I was saying, friends, we're gathered here on Thanksgiving Day in a spirit of friendship.
I gathered at 6:30.
represents that binding tie between all people. Let's try, friends. Let's try to keep the feeling that is so prevalent on this day throughout the entire year. So whenever you feel discouraged, just think of the spirit of those pilgrims who sailed across the ocean deep and finally landed at Cape Cod. In the year of 1620, the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. Gee, it wasn't Cape Cod. It was Plymouth Rock. Don Wilson was right. Well, I hate to do this, but I guess I'll just have to call him up and fire him. He's so smart, he can get another job. Good night.
And get other jobs he did. Don Wilson was the announcer on the Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou show. And during the Second World War, he announced on command performance, mail call, and various Armed Forces Radio Service shows. And, of course, in the 1950s, he moved up to the NBC show, The Baby Snooks Program.
The Baby Snooks Show! Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks with Hanley Stafford as Daddy and brought to you by Tums.
My daddy loves him.
Oh, hello there, Snooks. What can I do for you?
Will you give me some candy, Mr. Wilson?
Oh, I'm sorry, Snooks. I don't have any candy, but here, how would you like a shiny new penny?
I'd rather have a dirty old dime.
Now, look, young lady. Time you realize money doesn't grow on trees.
Well, where does it grow?
It doesn't. You have to earn it. And all these days, you have to earn a lot, the way prices are increasing. See this paper here?
Mm-hmm.
It says even castor oil is going up.
Yeah? Well, the only time castor oil bothers me is when it's going down.
Look, why don't you try earning your spending money?
I would if I could get a nice soft job like yours.
Oh, you're right. Mine is an easy job. The easiest job in the world is selling Tums. Actually, I don't have to sell Tums at all. You millions of Tums users are doing it for me. Sure, you tell your friends how speedily Tums relieve heartburn, ease away the gnawing distress of over-acid stomach, help you feel better fast. So they try Tums and pass the good news along to their friends. And I say thank you, friends. Keep up the good work. Just be sure to add, the price of Tums has not gone up. Still only 10 cents a roll, three-roll package a quarter everywhere. Ask for T-U-M-S, Tums for the tummy. The Baby Snooks Show came to you from Hollywood and was produced by Arthur Stander and written by Bob Fisher and Arthur Stander. Also appearing in the cast were Eileen Harris as Mummy, Frank Nelson, Elvie Allman, Ken Christie, and Fred Shields. Don't forget to listen to The Baby Snooks Show every Tuesday at the same time. This is Don Wilson reminding you that night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums, T-U-M-S, Tums for the tummy.
Now enjoy the Bob Hope Show. Tomorrow, laugh with Groucho Marx on NBC.
Don Wilson even did his bit for Navy recruiting.
Navy, the greatest Navy in the world, invites you to come aboard and enjoy this program of Down Home song and dance favorites. It's country music time. Starring Tex Williams and his band. Gather around, folks, because it's country music time, sent your way transcribed by the United States Navy and its Naval Reserve. Yes, friends and neighbors, this is Don Wilson saying it's time to sit back, relax, and listen.
and enjoy the music of one of the nation's outstanding musical aggregations and one of the brightest stars of country music time, Tex Williams.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette.
It's country music time. Starring
Season Tumbling Down,
the Sons of the Pioneers,
pledging their love to the ground.
Gather around, folks, cause it's country music time, sent your way transcribed by the United States Navy and its Naval Reserve. Yes, friends and neighbors, this is Don Wilson saying it's time to sit back, relax, and listen, and enjoy the music of the aristocrats of the range, six of the bright stars of country music time, the Sons of the Pioneers.
Drifting along with the tumbling, tumbleweed.
Many times in the Jack Benny program, the plot revolved around Don Wilson himself, and that took a lot of revolving because Don was a big man. As witness this program, just after they had come over from NBC to the CBS network in early 1949, the contract was up, and Don was refusing to sign his contract. Here is the following program from February 6, 1949.
The Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny with Barry Lewis and Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Don Wilson, yours truly, Rochester. Ladies and gentlemen, very few things go on in Mr. Benny's house that I don't know about. Last Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, Mr. Don Wilson came over to discuss his new contract with Mr. Benny. 5 hours later, they were still at it in the den behind locked doors.
Now, look, Don. I've given in to you on a lot of things. You have the right to do another show. I give you full credit on all our programs. You can take a 2-week vacation each year. You even have the right to approve of the script. Now, what else could you possibly want?
Money.
Don, there are things much more important than money.
Well, maybe so,
Don. Wait a minute. You place too much importance on money. Don't you realize you can't take it with you?
I know, but I'd like to finger a little of it while I'm here.
Oh. Well, Don, everything else in the contract is satisfactory, isn't it?
Well, everything except Clause 11.
Clause 11?
Yes. That's the one that says I'm not allowed to eat during the broadcast.
Oh. Well, Don, I had that clause put in because of what happened a couple of weeks ago when you were eating a hamburger during the first part of the show.
So what if I ate a hamburger? I did my commercial all right, didn't I?
Yes, but your pear-shaped tones came out with onions on them. Remember, you can't do your level best with mustard dripping on your vest. So the no eating clause stays in.
Well, that's not important. But what about the money?
Don, I made my final offer. You don't have to sign it now. I'll go out and leave you alone so you can think it over all by yourself. I don't know. Sometimes Don can be so stubborn that
hey,
I...
Hey, boss!
What is it, Rochester?
Has he signed it yet?
Not yet.
You want me to heat up the Brandon irons?
Oh, stop being silly. Anyway, I'm using the hunger treatment on him. Tell me, Rochester, were there any calls while I was in conference?
Yeah, the Farmer Stanley called. She's having a big party Saturday night, and she wants you to be there.
Good. Did she say white tie or black tie?
White coat, you're going to park cars.
Well, Rocket, did you mention to Miss Stanley that I'd be glad to play my violin for her guest?
Oh, I always do. But she said they were going to have Yasha Harpus for that.
Oh. Well, they probably would have had me, but Yasha can't park cars. Anyway, Rochester, I...
Hello.
Ah, poor Polly. You still haven't gotten over your cold.
Bobby got a cold.
Gesundheit. You know, Rochester, it's your fault that Polly has this cold. You never should have let her out of the house last week.
But, boss, how did I know she's trying to have the snowball?
See, it's amazing. She got a cold in the head from that. Well, I think I'll go back in the den and see if Don has made up his mind yet. Well, Don, have you decided to sign the contract yet at the salary I offered you?
No, Jack, and I want to tell you something. Never in my life have I seen anyone quibble over such trivial amounts as you do. Your parsimony absolutely revolts me. I've got to tell you, Jack, that you are, without a doubt, the cheapest, most miserly man I ever met.
What?
Don, if you hate me, don't laugh like that. Don, never have I been hurt so by a friend. Now, how in the world can you say a thing like that about me?
Because it's true.
That's no excuse. Imagine talking like that about me. Not only have we been business associates, but I've been the best friend you've ever had. I've done more for you than anyone else.
Just a minute, Jack. What have you ever done for me? Name one thing.
All right, I will. How about during the war when you weren't getting enough food? Didn't I sell you Rochester's ration book? Didn't I?
Jack, that ration book was for shoes.
That didn't stop you. You ate them anyway. And another thing. Rochester, will you answer the door?
I'm getting it, boss. They're sure going after it hot and heavy.
Hello, Rochester.
Oh, hello, Miss Livingston. Come on in. The boss is in the den with Mr. Wilson.
Business or pleasure?
Business for Mr. Wilson, pleasure for Mr. Benny.
Oh, then they must be discussing Don's new contract.
Yes, ma'am, and they've been in there for over 5 hours.
Gee, Don must be tough. I remember when Dennis came over to talk about his new contract, he was out in just 20 minutes.
Yes, lawyer sprung him with a writ of habeas corpus.
Well, I'll just wait here for Jack.
Wait for Jack.
Oh, hello, Polly. Polly want a cracker?
Polly want a Kleenex.
Oh, yes. I forgot. Well, don't worry, Polly. You'll be better in a few days. Oh, hello, Jack. I wanted to...
Just a minute, Mary. Now, what were you saying, Mary?
Nothing. May I say hello to Don now, or visiting hours over?
Well, Mary, I only locked the door so that no one could disturb Don while he's thinking. How are you?
Oh, fine, Jack, fine.
Okay.
I just did a little shopping. I bought myself a new evening gown.
A new evening gown, huh? What color?
Well, it isn't a solid color. It's something brand new and the latest style out here in California. It's pure white with yellow spots.
White with yellow spots?
Uh-huh. It represents a Nord tree peeping through a snowdrift.
All right.
Oh, but you know, Jack, it's really a beautiful gown. And it has such a low neckline.
Even the dresser must be skimpier than ever. Last season's necklines were so low. See, I imagine next year...
Stop thinking about it, Jack. Your little blue eyes are popping out.
Yeah. By the way, Mary, how come you bought a new evening gown?
Oh, for Barbara Stanwyck's party Saturday night.
Barbara Stanwyck is having a party?
Yes, a real swank affair. Everybody will be there.
Really?
Yes, Barbara told me they were having so many guests, they even hired a man to park cars.
No kidding.
Don't act innocent. I was the one who recommended you.
Recommended you.
Oh, stop imitating Ronald Coleman.
All right. Now, excuse me, Mary. I want to go in the den and talk to Don for a minute. Well, have you signed the contract yet, Don?
No, Jack, not yet.
Well, I'll go out again. Let you think about it some more.
No, I can't think. I've been locked here new since early morning. I've eaten for hours. I starve.
Hungry? Well, look, Don. All you have to do is sign the contract and go out for lunch and get a nice, thick steak.
Steak?
Yes. A thick, juicy sirloin covered with mushrooms.
Please.
On the side, a big baked Idaho potato dripping with butter.
Please, Jack.
And nestling all around the lovely steak will be golden brown French fried onions. And for dessert, you can have pie a la mode. Covered with buttery. Well, look, Don, I'll leave you here in the den to think it over. I'll be back soon.
What about it, boss? Have you signed yet?
Not yet.
He sure took this time.
Yeah, look, Rochester, go in the kitchen, put some coffee on, start frying some bacon, and blow the fumes toward the den.
Oh, boss, you rascal, you!
Never mind, just go do it. And make a hamburger for me. I want to eat it in front of them.
Jack, what are you up to now?
Nothing. Say, Mary, I'm going to have to do something about a commercial for the show. Don didn't bring the sportsmen over.
Oh, yes, they did, Jack. They're out at the pool.
The pool, swimming?
No, ice skating.
Oh, yes, my pool is still... Uh-oh. The sun's coming out and the ice is starting to... There goes the tenor. Oh, well, I'll fish him out later. Say, Mary, would you... Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. I just got back in town a few minutes ago.
Yes, Jack. Dennis was just telling me that he was up at Big Bear for the winter sports.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I went up there with my mother and father. First, my father didn't want to go, but my mother made him.
Well, I thought your mother and father were mad at each other. Why would she make him go?
She heard the snow up there was 6 feet deep. My father's only 5 feet four.
Oh, my goodness. What happened to your father?
Nothing. He was wearing elevator shoes.
Now, Dennis, stop making up those crazy things.
Okay.
Silly kid.
Say, Dennis, while you were up in the snow, did you do any tobogganing?
Yeah, I went down the toboggan slide 4 times, and it was awful. What people see in that ride, I'll never know.
Why? What happened?
I got my face all cut up and my knees scraped, too.
Well, Dennis, maybe you didn't know how to steer your sled.
Oh, sled!
Dennis, you mean you went down the toboggan slide without a sled?
Yeah,
on your stomach?
The other side hurt from ice skating.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Now, look, Sid, what'd you come over here for anyway?
Tell you the song I picked for Sunday show. Oh. It's Here I'll Stay, and I'm going to sing it at Barbara Sandwich Party on Saturday night, too.
Oh, are you going to entertain at Barbara's party, Dennis?
Oh, no, I'm just a guest. The real entertainer will be Yasha Heifetz.
Yasha Heifetz, a lot of help. You'll be at the party. I bet he hasn't even got a driver's license.
Will I see you at the party, Mr. Benny?
You sure will, kid. He'll be wearing top hat, white coat, and flashlight.
Yeah.
See, this is amazing. For once, I don't understand them.
ladies and gentlemen.
I've been an actor in motion pictures. I saw Frank Nelson and his wife at the Benny services, and I saw Rochester at that time. You might be interested to know that the last 2 years we were in production, we couldn't use Rochester as frequently as possible, as we had before, because he had a stroke similar to General Eisenhower's. This impaired his speech, his locomotion, his hearing, sight, and so forth. And so when we could do, we were filming, and when we could do a scene in short bits, then we could use Rochester. But he wasn't able to sustain a scene due to his unfortunate circumstances. But he gradually improved some after that.
Now it's time for a complete Jack Benny show from Armed Forces Radio Service. As it was heard on May 17th, 1954, we present the Don Wilson story on the Jack Benny program.
And now, around the world, the Jack Benny program. Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in presenting the star of our show, it gives me great pleasure to bring you a man who...
Just a minute, Don. Hold it a minute.
What?
Don, today, instead of you introducing me, I'm going to introduce you.
Me?
Yes, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, today not only marks the anniversary of Don Wilson's 30th year in radio, but it also commemorates his 20th year with me. So, Don, take a bow.
Jack, this is so touching.
Don, this day is yours. Today we will all pay homage to you. When I say we, I mean the entire cast. Your slightest wish will be our command. Whatever you... Don. Don, you're crying.
Gee, I can't help it, Jack.
See, the way those tears are running between your chins, it looks like you're irrigating something. Please, stop sniffling.
Well, I'm all right now, Jack. I just couldn't help getting emotional when I realized that you've been with me for 20 years.
No, Don. You've been with me. With me.
To think that I came on this show when it was down, and because of...
Down?
And because of my personality and showmanship, I raised it to the pinnacle of success.
Don, wait a minute.
It wasn't easy, and there were many setbacks, but every time the show was down, I brought it up again.
Now, wait a minute, Don. My show was never down. So don't make things up.
Well, now let's not argue. Really, let's don't argue because, well, and besides, I want to thank you for making this not only a memorable, but a profitable occasion.
Profitable? What did Jack do for you, Don?
Go ahead, Donzie. Tell Bob Crosby.
Well, Bob, not only did I get $500 cash, but I also got a brand new DeSoto convertible for my wife, a trip to New York for the two of us on the Super Chief, and a whole week at the Waldorf Astoria. Jack, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, gosh, Jack gave you all of that?
No, but it was his letter that got me on Strike It Rich.
You're darn right.
Well, Jack, I guess it won't seem like much now, but... Well, since today is Don's 20th anniversary with you, the boys, the band got something for him, and here it is, Don.
Oh, gee, thanks, Bob.
What is it, Don? What is it?
Well, now, wait, Jack, till I unwrap it.
Okay. Boys in the Orchestra, huh?
Yeah. Oh, Jack, look at this. A diamond-studded cigarette lighter.
Well, I'm glad that you like it, Don. My musicians went through a lot of trouble to get it for you.
Well, Bob, that's a beautiful lighter your boys got for Don, but you'd think it would be wrapped a little better. Who did it?
The owner of the store.
The owner of the store? I could have wrapped it better than that.
Not with your hands up over your head.
Bob, you mean the boys held up a jewelry store?
Well, it was an accident, Jack. You see, when they walked into the store, Remley had his guitar under his coat.
Uh-huh.
The man thought it was a machine gun. He threw up his hands and said, "Take anything that you want."
Well, that's still dishonest. Frankie should have opened his coat and showed the jeweler that it wasn't a gun.
Oh, Frankie did better than that. He took out the guitar, started to play, and the guy said, "Look, you got what you want. Stop torturing me."
Well, that I can understand. Anyway, Bob, it was very nice of your boys to bring down that present.
Well, he deserves it, Jack. After all, he took this program when it was down, and he started...
It wasn't down! Now, look, this show isn't 5 minutes old, and already I'm aggravated.
That makes two of us.
Oh, hello. Hello, Dennis. What's the matter with you?
I got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
So what?
I fell out the window.
What?
It's three stories. Boy, am I lucky I wasn't hurt.
Oh, you landed on your head, huh? Was that it? Was that it, Dennis?
No, on the mailman's head.
Oh, fine.
I guess he'll have to find himself a new job.
A new job? Why?
Yeah, now he's too short to reach the mailboxes.
I don't know, Dennis. Everybody else just goes along. Why do these stupid things keep happening to you?
Oh, I guess it's because I got such a bad start in life. You know, I was an incubator baby.
An incubator baby? How much did you weigh?
11 pounds.
Dennis, if you were that big, why did they keep you in an incubator?
They were afraid to let my mother get her hands on me.
Well, what did your father have to say?
Nothing. He was hiding in there with me.
This is all very interesting, but why don't you just sing now and save the rest of your biography for This Is Your Life?
I'd rather you got me on Strike It Rich.
All right. I'll do it sometime. Just sing.
Yes, sir.
Amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a gay tarandella. When the stars make you drool, it's just like a bust of Azula. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Scusa me.
That was Dennis Day singing That's Amore with the Sportsman Quartet. And fellas, if you don't mind, I'm dedicating that song to Don. You see, this is a special occasion today. It's Don Wilson's 20th anniversary with me. And in honor of this, for our feature attraction tonight, we're going to do a special sketch based on the life... Oh, excuse me. I'll get it. Hello?
Oh, Mr. Bennett, this is Rochester.
Rochester, I'm in the middle of my show. What do you want?
Well, boss, do you remember that sweet little old lady who came by here last week?
Little old lady?
You know, the one that sold you that 50-cent raffle ticket on a Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, yes. Now I remember.
Well, she's back again.
For a suit like that?
That's what I told the four men with her.
Four men? Are they lawyers?
I think so. Their names are Habeas Corpus, Delecti, and Giesler.
Giesler? She just sprained her ankle. I didn't blacken her eye. Look, Rochester, don't admit anything and get in touch with my insurance man. I'm covered for things like this.
Okay.
I'll see you later. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
We just got a copy of Parade magazine and your picture is on the cover.
Parade magazine? Oh, yes, yes. And my picture's in color, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
How do my eyes look?
Green.
Green?
There's a spinach ad on the other side of the page.
A spinach ad?
When you hold it up to the light, you look like you're peeking through a head.
All right. I'll see you when I get home. Goodbye.
Goodbye!
Now, Now, where was I? Oh, yes. As I started to say, tonight for our feature attraction, we're going to do the story of Don Wilson's life.
Oh, please, Jack. Really, this is embarrassing.
Now, don't you be so modest, Don. You deserve it.
Yeah, I'll say. After all, you took the show when it was down and you put it right...
It wasn't
where...
down! And anyway, Dennis, that was 20 years ago and you were only 8 at the time. So how would you know?
I had a radio in my incubator.
Yeah, incubator. Now, come on, let's get on with it. Ladies and gentlemen, in honor of Don Wilson's 20th year on my program, we're going to present a play based on his life. The Don Wilson Story, or Life Can Be Plentiful. Curtain. Music.
Our story opens in Denver, Colorado, many years ago. The stork has just delivered a precious bundle to the home of Mr. and Mrs. Donald C. Wilson, Sr. The mother happily whispers to the father,
"Darling, it's a boy."
And the proud father said,
"Yes, aren't we lucky? The stork brought us a boy."
And the stork said,
"Oh, my aching back."
As the proud parents leaned over the crib looking at their newborn son, the baby said, "Three days later," he said,
"I want a roast fish sandwich."
He was developing slowly. During that first week, three nurses quit because they just couldn't stand giving him his bottle. It was exasperating. The gravy would slip through, but the mashed potatoes were murder. But Donald was a good boy, although his parents did have trouble getting him to sleep.
Now, come on, baby. Come on. It's time for Betty Bar. Now, baby, stop that. Baby, stop. Baby, put me down.
Yes?
Mr. Willoughby, please.
Oh, you're Mr. Benny. Mr. Willoughby's expecting you. Go right through that door.
Thank you.
Yes?
I'm here to see Mr. Willoughby.
Oh, you're Jack Benny?
Yes.
Mr. Willoughby's expecting you. Go right through that door.
Thank you.
Yes?
Miss, I'm Jack Benny. Mr. Willoughby is expecting me.
Who's Mr. Willoughby?
Look, miss, isn't this the Universal Corsa Company?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Willoughby is the president.
Oh, you mean Poopsie.
Poopsie?
Yes. Go right.
Mr. Willoughby?
Yes. Surprise.
Mr. Willoughby, I'm Jack Benny.
Yeah, I know. Come right in.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Willoughby, what is it you wanted to see me about?
Well, I hate to bother an artist of your stature with trifles, but a strange thing has happened since you've been broadcasting for us.
What's that?
We've been losing money. We've been selling corsets for 15 years, and this is the first time the company is feeling the pinch.
Mr. Willoughby, just what is your complaint about my program?
I can't stand the way you read our commercials. I want you to hire an announcer.
So I started auditioning announcers. I tried voices. Voices, all kinds of voices. Deep ones, high ones, soft ones.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. You see, I'm a big comedian, and I couldn't resist the opportunity, but I really am looking for a radio announcer.
Well, you've come to the right place. Now, let's see. In this class, I have little Harry Von Zell, Billy Goodwin, Jimmy Wallington, and that fat one over there is Donald Wilson.
Donald Wilson. Gee, I like that name, and he looks like he might be just right for my program.
Well, certainly, Mr. Benny. I'll call him over. Oh, Donald. Donald, this is Jack Benny.
How do you do?
How with an H and an O and a U and an O and a D is a how do you do?
Now, Mr. Wilson, I'm considering you as an announcer for my program. And if you take the job, I hope everything turns out fine.
Thank you.
Now, about your salary, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, I'm so anxious to get into radio. I'll work for my three meals a day.
Well, I wasn't planning to go that high. Look, Mr. Wilson, money isn't everything, and you said yourself that you were anxious to get into radio.
I know, but if I'm not going to make a halfway decent salary, why should I go on a show that's down?
It's not down. How did I get in the script?
It's in there because it happens to be true.
It is not.
It is true.
It is not.
Jack, you're ruining the whole thing.
I don't care. My show was never down.
It was true.
You stay out of it.
Don't pick on him, Green Eyes.
What?
That
does it.
Jack, just get back to my story, the story of my life.
I don't care about your life. I'm sick of it. I'm going home. Goodbye.
Jack!
G with an O, with an O, with a D, with a B, D, bye. Goodbye. Go try and be nice to me.
No doubt most of you fellas and gals in the service have heard of USAFE. But do you know what it means? Actually, USAFE stands for two things. First, USAFI stands for the United States Armed Forces Institute, the largest classroom in the world. But it stands for something else, too. Spell it backwards, and USAFE becomes IFASU, which means Insurance for All Servicemen Uninformed. But spelled forwards or backwards, USAFE is the key to your future success, whether you plan to follow a military or a civilian career. Enroll in a USAFE course today. See your unit IND officer or write USAFE, Madison 3, Wisconsin. For uniform education, study with USAFE.
Hello, Rochester.
Hello, boss.
What's that?
That's the Cocker Spaniel you won in the raffle.
Oh, isn't he cute?
You better like him a lot, boss. He may wind up costing you $150,000.
Wait a minute. The woman that fell down was only suing me for $100,000. What's the $50,000 for?
You're being sued again. The dog just bit somebody.
Oh, no. Good night, folks.
The Jack Benny program is written by Sam Perrin, Milt Josephsberg, George Balzer, and John Tackerberry, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Marks. Don Wilson speaking. Good night. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
From the Armed Forces Radio Service, that was the Jack Benny program, as it was heard on May 17th, 1954, celebrating Don Wilson's 20th year with Jack Benny, and what a good show that was. You're going to notice some similarities in the following bit of information. What we're going to do is go all the way up to San Francisco. Now, Channel 44, KBHK-TV in that city, during February of 1975, spent one solid week paying tribute to Jack Benny because it was the week of the 14th of February, which would have been Jack Benny's 81st birthday. He had died the preceding December of 74. Now, they got Don Wilson to sit in and host a whole week of retrospectives, and I thought it was a very nice thing that they did do that. And what we're going to hear now is actually a soundtrack of a television show. But it's kind of interesting because they did it on television, too. Basically, the same thing we just heard. But you'll see what happens as we join Channel 44 in San Francisco on February 14th, 1975.
The Groucho, normally seen at this time, will not be presented so that we may bring you the following KDHK TV special, Jack Benny Week, a tribute. The following special tribute to Jack Benny is brought to you by General Foods Corporation, the makers of Jell-O brand desserts, which enjoyed a long, wonderful, and memorable relationship with Jack Benny. We wish to thank General Foods Corporation for donating their commercial time to the Cancer Society and to the Bay Area Symphony Orchestras.
From Hollywood, the Jack Benny Program.
Hello, and good evening. I'm Don Wilson. Welcome to KDHK's Jack Benny Week, a tribute. Today, Valentine's Day, would have been Jack Benny's 81st birthday. In his honor, and every night this week, Channel 44 is presenting one of his early television shows, the Jack Benny television programs, that is, and at 11:30, a classic Jack Benny feature film. All commercial time has been donated to some of Jack's favorite charities, including the San Francisco, Oakland, and the San Jose Symphony, and the American Cancer Society. Tonight's show is how Jack met George Burns. Jack was always a great audience for other comedians, and he was never the forward type, but he was always very quiet. But he was the greatest audience in the world for George Burns, because he and George had been such close friends for many, many years, since the early days of vaudeville, when they first met and roomed together. And, of course, George would come in and say hello, and Benny would fall down laughing. George used to do some of the silliest things in those days, and Jack, in his naive way, would always fall for it. I remember Jack telling the story of being at a Hollywood party in someone's home. It was a very large mansion, and all the guests were there in the ballroom, of course, for the evening's entertainment, which was to be a very famous opera star. As the singer entered, George Burns leaned over to Jack and whispered, "If you laugh, you're a skunk." Well, she sang one note and Jack was collapsed on the floor. Just collapsed with laughter. Well, George is always doing silly things like that. So tonight's show is entitled Don Wilson's Anniversary. I've been with Jack Benny for about 27 years, and he decided it was time to... Pretty silly, isn't it? So anyway, that's the way to do good the scene. Now, another thing happened during the filming, but I want you to see the show first, and then I'll tell you the story after. Now, here's Jack.